Jesus went up the mountain, and after he had sat down, his disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for justice. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure of heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are they who are persecuted." And then Simon Peter raised his hand and said, "Are we supposed to know this?" And Andrew said, "Do we have to write this down?" And James said, "Well, we have a test on this." And Philip said, "I don't have any paper." And Bartholomew said, "Do we have to turn this in?" And John said, "The other disciples didn't have to learn this." And Matthew said, "May I please go to the bathroom?" And Thomas said, "I don't believe any of this." And Jude Thaddeus said, "What does all this have to do with real life?" Then one of the Pharisees who was present asked to see Jesus' lesson plan and inquired of Jesus, "Where is your anticipatory set and your objectives in the cognitive domain?" And Jesus wept. As we begin National Catholic Schools Week today, so many of my teacher friends can relate to this humorous and fictitious story of how the apostles responded to our Lord's teaching. When I taught sophomore religion at Lourdes High School over 16 years ago, I heard every one of these reactions. And because these are the reactions we teachers so often receive, we think that is how everyone responded to Jesus' teaching 2,000 years ago. But it's not true, is it? At the end of our Lord's teaching in his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7, it says, "When Jesus finished this sermon, he left the crowd spellbound at his teaching because he taught with authority and not like the scribes." We teachers wish and pray that our students would be spellbound by our teaching. The people on the mountain are spellbound by the teaching of Jesus because he's God, because he's the master teacher. He is this beautiful divine lesson plan. He wants to teach the new law. And we're going to be listening to the teaching of Jesus in his divine lesson plan beginning this Sunday, and it's going to continue all the way through the last Sunday in February, right before the Sunday right before Ash Wednesday. This big teaching of Jesus, or his sermon, is called the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount, because Jesus gives this big sermon from this mountain. And Matthew records this beautiful sermon in chapters 5, 6, and 7 of his gospel. The first part of the Sermon on the Mountain is called the Beatitudes, from the Latin word beatitudine, meaning blessed. And I'd just like to examine for a moment the master teacher's teaching method. It seems fitting at the beginning of Catholic Schools Week. Jesus goes up the mountain. He first picks his classroom. It's a beautiful classroom. I wish I could show it to you. He's up on this mountain. He's overlooking the Sea of Galilee. He's right on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. There are these beautiful bluffs or little hills in the background around the sea. It's lush and green. The sea is blue and beautiful. And he's on the top of this mountain. It's like a natural amphitheater. It's a beautiful classroom that he's chosen. And he goes up a mountain, which is not by accident. Jesus doesn't do anything by accident. He's going up the mountain just like Moses gave the law on the mountain. So Jesus sees himself as the new Moses who's going to give the new law from a mountain. And then the master teacher does something very important. He sits down. He sits down. Remember the last time this happened? Jesus was 12. On the third day, they came upon Jesus in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. Jesus was sitting to teach in the temple. St. Paul says that he sat at the feet of a character named Gamaliel, who was the leader of the Jewish Sanhedrin and one of the greatest rabbans or teachers in the law of Jerusalem. St. Paul talks about sitting at the feet of Gamaliel. In the ancient world, teachers sat to teach. All of my professors in graduate school, they all sat down. I thought they were just tired. No, they sat down because that's what teachers do. I still do that on Tuesdays when I go to the school. The kindergartners and the first graders, it's just like the ancient world. They have me sit down and they're all at my feet. That's how everyone learned in the ancient world. The teacher sat down. That's why the bishop or the pope sits down from his cathedra or his chair to teach and to preach. Sitting down is a symbol of authority. So Jesus is up on the mountain as the new Moses. He's sitting down as the master teacher. It says his disciples came to him. And you know, disciple means learner. Or student, or pupil. So you can clearly see this is a classroom setting. He's picked his classroom. He's sitting down to teach. The learners, the students come to him. They sit at his feet. And so here as we begin National Catholic Schools Week today, we students and disciples return to the Lord's classroom. We sit at his feet. We're eager to be taught by the master teacher. And he began to teach them, the Bible says, by saying, blessed. Eight times he says, blessed. And we might say, do we have to know this? I would say, absolutely. Will we have a test on this? Of course you will. Before any of our students graduate from Catholic school, they have to memorize the eight Beatitudes. Why? They're not only a summary of this whole big lesson of Jesus. He's a master teacher. He's going to tell us what he's going to say before he says it. And so in eight short sentences, he's going to tell us what the whole lesson is about. It's a brilliant master teacher plan. Something that you can memorize easily. But more importantly, it's not only the summary of this whole big sermon. It's a summary of the whole gospel. It's what the heart of the whole gospel is, can be summarized in the beginning of this teaching of the Beatitudes. It's easy to memorize, right? These eight Beatitudes have everything to do with real life. What does this have to do with real life? Everything. Blessed are the... Who here today might be poor in spirit? Or mourning? Or meek? And humble, or hungering and thirsting for what is true and good and beautiful. Who wants to be merciful? Who wants to be pure in heart, mind, body, soul? Who wants to be like our patron Saint Francis and be a peacemaker? Maybe there's some people here this morning that find themselves persecuted. This has everything to do with real life. And the master teacher promises, and he never breaks a promise, he promises comfort and the promised land. And he promises real satisfaction, real fulfillment. He promises mercy. He promises a vision of the face of God. He promises to be that we would be part of his family as children. He promises nothing less than the kingdom of heaven. Those are his promises. For those who live the Beatitudes, these promises will be ours. Maybe not in this life, but certainly in the next, in eternal life. That's why we can rejoice and be glad, for our reward will be great in heaven.